friends, people that are in attendance for the show. Have you been affected by Jared Leto in any way?
My
Has he
God.
douched up your party by being crappy in a movie? Has he made things awkward for you because you told people you liked him and then they listened to his music and watched him dressed as a giant cat and he's ruined your day? If you have, please reach out to us here at Friends Against Leto. We're starting a movement to take this bastard down. And all I want to know is who's with me. So reach out. Friends Against Leto, we're here for you.
This is Petey Page.
I am Mike.
J Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
And we have a special guest today. Why don't you introduce yourself, please?
I am Becky Kovach. I am a publicist at Big Picture Media.
And a good friend of ours because she got us into Galactic Empire.
Yes. I was so excited when you guys wanted to chat with them.
Oh, I love them. I used to live near where they're from.
Okay. So, like out in Pennsylvania.
But I knew about them for years and we talked about it on the podcast. The first show I ever went to theirs was the day that my parents split up.
Oh, because
no. We found out about it, so it was like this bittersweet moment, but it was like still such a great show.
I got so worried when he brought that up on the episode. So I was like, oh my God, is he about to blame them for his parents? All like this entire creation of this podcast and our year of doing it, dozens of guests is all just building up to you attacking Galactic Empire for splitting your parents up?
No,
it was a long haul, like plan for revenge.
Like some Scott Tenorman shit.
I guess we should jump right into it. So how did you get in touch with them firstly? Like, is that like a process or did they just reach out to you?
So with Galactic Empire specifically, it was more that the label was working with them and they were looking to bring a publicist on board. And we've worked with Pure Noise a bunch in the past. So they kind of sent the band over, wanted to know if anybody was into the music and into what they were doing. And I love all that kind of pop culture-y, kind of nerdy, like quote unquote nerdy stuff. So when I found out that they were just like a Star Wars cover band, they did everything in character and in costume. I just like jumped at it. I was like, yes, this 100% is for me.
Yeah, it was so fucking right. When I found them online, I was like, I can't believe this exists. This is like my like dream, like the metal and Star Wars is just, I'm like, oh.
It seems like one of those things you like make up in your head. Like you're sitting around allegedly stoned watching the Star Wars movies and you're like, oh man, if a metal band played the Cantina song, it'd be so great. And then you think later that you just imagine that and then it's real.
Yeah, it's real. And it's just, that's the thing with them too, is it was like, it was so, they're so good. They're like, you hear the one song, like you hear the theme, and then you go and listen to the other songs, and they're so musically just great.
Yeah. You're
like, damn, how did they even, like the Cantina Band song, that was the song that got me, but it's like, it's like note for note, the Cantina Band song in the movie, and you're just like, Jesus, they got everything. And I'm like, I said, if we ever get in touch with Lucasfilm, we're going to reach out to them for those guys. Get them in.
Yeah. They're just such technically skilled musicians. Like even outside of, oh, or like we're in a band, like they're just so talented at what they do, that they really do take these like Star Wars, like soundtrack songs and just like amp it up so much. And it sounds so good.
Yeah. The Hoth battle and the new one, I've been rocking out. Mm-hmm. Keep it repeat. Cause I'm just like, oh, it's so good.
Well, I bought the vinyl when we went out to see them after we did the interview. So that's been, I think it's still on the turntable. I don't think I've turned it off. I just flip it each time. But so Jimmy hit on something that I think is really important just to kind of talk in a general sense about what you do. So for anybody who doesn't understand, what does a publicist do? And then we'll follow through with that. I have more follow-up questions afterwards.
Okay. So on like a very base level, publicists are kind of the middlemen between artists and journalists. So a lot of my day-to-day is just sending emails to writers, sending them music bands that I'm working with and saying like, hey, do you like this? And if so, do you want to write about it? So finding people who are going to connect with the music that I'm working on and who are going to like it. and want to review an album or come out and shoot or review a show, do an interview with the band, and just kind of help post things and spread the word when there's new music released or there's a tour announced or something like that. But on like a deeper level, it's also very much about building relationships with those like journalists. Because like I said, part of what we do is making sure that we're sending them things that they're going to like and connect with and want to work on. So it's a lot of like getting to know these writers and getting to know their likes, their dislikes, what kind of music they cover, like what is their particular beat at whatever publication they're at. What kinds of pieces do they write and what kinds of pieces are their publications running, and just knowing who to pitch for what.
Very nice. Now, prior to this, have any of these other like publicists or podcasts or anything had you on as a guest to talk about this?
I've done a few podcasts over the years.
Ours is the best though, right? It's okay. Yeah. You can say it.
Of course.
We're so humble.
Yeah.
We're very humble.
We are humble. It's probably our best quality. So just to kind of follow up a little bit further on that. So you had mentioned, you know, the record label had reached out to you guys and you had worked with, for using Galactic Empire as an example, you'd worked with their label before. Now, do you guys work with independent artists as well, or are these only built through relationships that you have with specific labels or distributors?
Yeah, we work with artists of all levels. So it could be like these independent baby bands who are just starting out, don't even have management, to, you know, more established veteran artists who have been doing it for 20 plus years, have been through the major label system, have a management team surrounding them. So it's really just like anyone out there that, you know, we the more important thing for us is that the music we work on is something that we're passionate about, because as a publicist, the hardest thing you can do is write a pitch about something you don't believe in. So for us, it's more about working on music and working with people that we love and want to help champion.
That makes
sense. That's awesome.
That makes sense. I can see it. I can see it be, I mean, really, we're kind of just open to everybody right now, but I can see like, if there was,
are we open to everybody though?
I mean, we'll interview.
We haven't, but like, we have an active campaign against Jared Leto. We're not open to everybody. Just a minute, like. Good
point. And the Strokes too. So if you have any connections, is it the Strokes? Right,
the Strokes. Yeah,
yeah. I don't like that guy.
Noted.
That guy or Jared Leto. We have very personal issues between all of them. So I apologize if Jared Leto has contacted you in any.
He's in the room with you right now, just off camera.
Just me and my cat.
We can come get you if you need us to. We promise. Morbius was terrible.
It was a bad movie. It was a terrible movie.
But it was great bad. I laughed so hard at that movie so many times.
I thought you were gonna say it was really good. I was gonna be like, you son of a bitch traitor. How dare you, Pete? You're supposed to be my best friend.
Go ahead.
I watched it a couple times because the first time I just didn't understand what I had watched.
Did you understand it more after watching?
No.
Like, did it get better?
No, it
didn't.
Would
you sign him if he came to you for?
On a personal level, probably not. Just because I've heard such terrible things about him as a human.
Yes.
On like a moral level, I don't think I could do that.
Love it.
Well, that's an important thing though too. Like, has there been? And I'm not asking you to mention names. It's 30 seconds to Mars, but we're not asking you to mention any kind of names, but have there been any artists who have approached you guys, and not because you disliked their music or just weren't passionate about it, but something like that, where there was just something with them on a personal level where you're just like, we can't be associated with this. Has that happened?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to name names.
No,
right.
But
no, it's
there have been some bands where
we'll call it like 30 Seconds to Venus or something.
Gary Glitter.
There have been some bands where, you know, there were just some questionable things in their past that, you know, on a personal level, just felt uncomfortable working with them. And, you know, we are a company that is very vocal about our beliefs and where we stand on things like social rights issues. And, you know, there are just some artists that with, you know, we're also a company full of women, and there are just some artists that we just couldn't work with in good conscience.
Now, is that a difficult conversation to have though? Like, when an artist like that approaches you, or do you guys just kind of professionally like, hey, we're just not taking new clients right now, like a vague?
I mean, both. It is a difficult conversation, and sometimes we have to like point to specific things that make us feel uncomfortable about taking on a client. But also, like, we are always professional about it, and we are always willing to have a conversation with an artist and to talk things out and to get their side of it before we come to any kind of a decision.
That's, yeah, that makes sense. Do you ever, was there ever anyone that, like, you turned down, that you kick yourself that you turned down?
No, I don't think so.
Because I feel like if you're going on like morality and like how you feel like you being comfortable, there probably wouldn't be.
Yeah,
you
know, no,
because you're making the decision based on beliefs instead of making the decision like, man, that guy could have been, you know, that Michael Jackson guy. He was touching kids, but he's okay. allegedly touching kids. Sorry,
but yes. Thriller.
I'm using my Thriller.
No, I don't think there's ever been a situation where I would look back on something and I was like, you know, maybe that was the wrong move.
Do you flex any of the bands that you, because when I looked up the bands that you guys represent, I was like, holy shit, there's a lot of good bands on here.
Yeah, we work at some really like, do you great artists.
Like you go to a party and like, you know, like or a reunion or something and you're like, they're like, oh yeah, you know, I have two kids and, you know, we just took the kids to Dutch Wonderland for the first time. And you're like, yeah, I was just hanging out with 311 in the back and, you know, we were just chilling out at their 311 day show in New Orleans where they shut the city down for the band.
The band 311.
not a whole lot of flexing. I actually my first high school graduation was last year and I missed it because I was on site at a music festival.
See, there it is.
That was the closest I've ever come to like actually flexing on anybody from like back in the day, because I had to email them after I had RSVP'd yes, be like, hey, just kidding, I have to go work on a festival in Texas. Have fun. But otherwise, like, my closest friends are people that I've known for 20 years at this point and grew up listening to the same band. So it's been fun to be able to take them to shows and see some of these artists that we grew up with that I now work with and, you know, get to introduce them to an extent.
So, I mean, that's a flex, but that's not like a spiteful flex. Like when we had Righteous on, Righteous is a guy I went to high school with, and we promised each other when we got 20 years later, whenever we got, did something creative that was like that we were into, we would bring the other one on, and he came on and it was cool. And it was cool to have him on because I wanted him to see like what I was doing, mm-hmm. and how cool this was. And he was very much like totally into it. And he's a great dude. And I mean, I've kept in touch with him, but it's like, but I mean, I guess it could be considered a flex, but not like a flex, like, you know, fuck you guy. It was more like a dude, check this out. Like, this is what we've been talking about for 20 years.
Yes.
And it was really cool. So I feel like that's probably the vein that was in.
Yeah,
but man, if I had, oh, there's people that I would absolutely walk in with a 311 shirt and be like, oh, Hexen gave me this. You know, he does that all the time. He'll just wear the shirt and throw it to me. It's no big deal. I have like 10 of them.
I did want to ask, like, this line of work, this, like, was this something that you were like interested in from the go? Was this something that you kind of like pursued like after high school and had to go for like a secondary degree, or was this something that you just kind of like, you know, happened upon and it just seemed to be like a really good fit?
I kind of just happened upon it. I always wanted to work in the music industry, like since high school, that was kind of my goal. Originally I've always been a writer, so I came up kind of doing reviews for my high school paper. And then when I got to college, I did reviews for my college paper and some interviews here and there. I wrote for the now defunct Property of Zach. I wrote for Absolute Punk and Chorus FM for a little bit. So I very much was like kind of in the headspace that I wanted to be a journalist. And then I got to college and I was going to double major in journalism and music. And I realized I hated both programs at my school.
Oh, no.
So I took like one class in each and immediately dropped that plan. So I majored in English and American literature, which like I'm not doing anything with these days, but I love to read and I love to write. So that was the next best thing.
I'm glad to meet a brother Seamus because I have the same thing.
So I started taking elective classes in like the actual music industry program at my school and did like music marketing classes. And I started looking around for internships and I got introduced to Big Picture Media through a friend's then girlfriend. And she was just like, hey, I know what kind of music you listen to. They work with a lot of those kinds of bands. You should check out this company. Let me introduce you. And I ended up interning at Big Picture Media end of my sophomore year of college. And I never left. I took like 4 months off when I went abroad for a semester, but from end of my sophomore year of college to the end of my last semester, I basically just interned for Big Picture. And when I got there, I just realized like PR was the perfect like balance of writing and music. And it was a way to champion artists that I love and respect and, you know, believe in. Whereas with journalism, there's always that chance that you're going to get an album that you have to review and you don't like it. And I just didn't ever want to be that negative person. I wanted to be able to be my band's number one fan.
That's amazing. Cause like that, you said end of sophomore year, like that's like a 2 year grind to get there. And I mean, not a lot of people have the fortitude for that, but it's really cool to see a story or hear from someone who did it and it actually paid off. I think that's kind of, cool. Cause sometimes it doesn't pan out. Sometimes like, oh no, they kept me on for 6 months and it was cool. And I learned some things, but then, you know, the next intern had to come in. I'm glad that this was different for you in your case. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was honestly, it was so great. And I learned everything that I know about PR through interning at Big Picture and eventually starting there as I was a junior publicist when I started. So I worked under two of the senior publicists who were with the company at the time. And that really was like my crash course in learning what PR was and how it worked and what you do. And I've been with the company. It was 11 years this month since I started interning, and I hit 9 years full time back in February.
Wow.
So I just never left.
10 years coming up. That's a heck of a milestone. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, it's tough to find a job that you like doing for that long. I hate every job I've ever
been. I was going to say, it's tough to find anything you like doing for that long.
I hate every job I've ever been at except this. And this isn't really a job because I don't get paid to do it. I love this, but that's very much, it's nice to hear that sentiment too, because that's very much what we're about. Like, I know that Jared Leto bashing may have directed you from in a different direction, but we're very much about like uplifting people that we like, that we, you know, that we meet that are cool. And like everyone we've interviewed has just been really like very open and very cool. And it's nice to help people like that, like get where they need to go. It's been like, you know, it's a lot of people who are just on the cusp of just getting, you know, getting where they need to go. And we're hoping to get, you know, further along and move up the ladder to get people that we've already respect, not people that we're just meeting for the first time, but like, it's very nice to like, to have people come on and just instantly become comfortable and then know that you're helping them because you're making them, you're showing that they're good people by letting them talk and tell their stories. That's very much a thing that I'm very proud of with this podcast.
Yeah. And that's awesome. And that very much is like in line with, I run our intern program now, and I started doing that a few years into being full time. And for me, that's one of the most rewarding parts of my job is being able to, you know, help our interns grow and learn about what we do. And I oversee everything from the interview process to hiring, scheduling. I take care of like any like paperwork that they need taken care of for school or letters of recommendation when they're on their way out and things like that. And it's just so cool to be able to see what our interns have done over the years too. Like people who were interns when I first started full time and are now like in full time jobs and thriving in their own careers. And a lot of our interns, not a lot, but like a lot of the people who work at Big Picture Media started as interns. We love to hire from within and kind of help our interns grow and take those next steps.
That is awesome that you guys do that. I'm going to throw, just to be the negative person here, I hated my internship when I was in college, but that is awesome though, that, you know, when you find a good company like yours, that people have the opportunity to stay on and do things like that. Now going back to, cause I know so many musicians and I'm sure that they're all, I'm thinking of them and what they would ask. How would a band who is a more independent band, how would they reach out to a company like Big Picture to get your attention? Like, what are you guys looking for in a band beyond just good music, obviously?
I mean, good music is like the most important thing, but obviously music is kind of subjective and everybody has their own opinions. So really beyond that, just like being good people. We don't want to work with people that are going to like treat us like crap, because like publicists aren't always the first ones that come to mind when everyone is like, oh, I have to put my team together, or we have this new thing happening, we have to tell everybody. Like a lot of times I'll find stuff out from social media about my bands that I should have known before it got put on social media.
Oh God.
But just like good music, good people, being organized is always super helpful. Like people who have all of their assets together when they come to us is always super nice, so that we're not chasing them for things. So a lot of people reach out to us on our website. We've got a form up, and then from there it kind of gets filtered out to each publicist at the company. And we all kind of lend a hand in doing like new biz onboarding calls and just kind of getting artist stories and, you know, seeing what they're about and if it's a good fit for the company. So that's kind of how we go about vetting that stuff.
When we first started interacting, you and I, that it was Galactic Empire, and you gave me connections to other publicists who handle artists in your company. Who else do you specifically represent?
So right now, I work with 10th Street Entertainment, which is an artist management company. They handle like Papa Roach, Ice Nine Kills. I'm trying to think who else. I'm like blanking on the rest of. Oh, Bailey Zimmerman, who's a country artist. So I'm working with them as like a company, and doing press, just kind of getting attention on the company itself and their stories and, you know, their approach to managing their artists, which has been really cool and a little bit different. I do work with Papa Roach, which has been really, really fun. I've got a Scottish band called The Excerpts. I work with Midtown, which is a very cool thing for me being from New Jersey and having like grown up a Cobra Starship fan, grown up a Midtown fan. Getting to
work with Midtown. I remember Midtown.
I love Cobra Starship. They're one of my favorite groups.
I was a huge Cobra Starship fan when I was younger. And that I got into Midtown like retroactively because I was like, oh, I love Cobra Starship. Like this is Gabe Saporta's other band. Nice. So let me go listen to them too. So it's been really fun to work on that reunion and like get to be a part of that. I also work with Heart Attack Man. They just put their new album out. I've got an artist named Luna Aura who will have a new EP in the fall. I've got a punk trio from Brooklyn called Sorry Mom, who I really love. I'm working with this indie label, Open Your Ears Records. They're based down in Richmond, Virginia. We just put in a deluxe album for a band called Another One Down, and we've got a few more releases we're going to work on as the year goes on. I've got metalcore band Halocene. I'm working with a comedian named Neil Rubenstein, who was at Adjacent this past weekend and is filming a new special on Thursday. I've got a rock band named Felicity based out of Orlando. I'm working with This Wildlife. They're an acoustic rock duo. And then our company works with Rude Records on US press for a lot of their bands. So my next project that I'm working on, I think, is Sundress, which is an indie punk band from Arizona.
I'm going to Arizona in like 2 weeks.
Nice.
Not that I would meet them there, but I'm going to get in and out for a while. That's definitely something that's happening.
It's so eclectic, like the like comedians, musicians, like different types of musicians, like that's, and for you to like rattle them all off like that, that's like amazing.
I have a sticky note up on my computer that.
Okay, well, never mind.
If you want, I can edit that out, and you can be like, "Yes, I remember."
Yeah.
Nah, it's okay. We're gonna be real here. I have a sticky note up that I use to keep track of like things that I'm doing on a daily basis for everybody, and so it's just nice I have it up on my computer.
Wait, so are we on there as a sticky note?
I have you guys in my calendar.
Oh man, we got calendar.
We made the calendar.
We got the calendar treatment.
Yes.
Wait, does that mean you're interviewing us right now? Oh. What's going on?
I wouldn't.
Did you get to listen to any of our episodes beforehand?
I listened a little bit. So the biggest problem for me is when I'm like working on stuff, I have like the TV on in the background because I put on shows that I've seen like on repeat 5,000 yeah. times as like my background noise. I can't have things that I need to focus on while I'm working.
Yeah.
I have Monday Night Raws from 1998 going most of the time when I'm doing stuff because I know what's going to happen. And then every once in a while there's a pop and I look up and then I just go back down to what I'm doing.
Yeah. For me, it's Bob's Burgers or like baking shows.
Okay.
But like baking shows I've seen already.
The British baking shows, because my sisters love those shows.
I love those shows. I love baking. If I didn't work in music, I always say that I would have been like a pastry chef. So those shows are like my relaxation.
So I briefly worked as a baker.
Oh,
that's how Jimmy and I met.
You consider that you were a baker.
Sure. I worked in a bakery. One day a fire started in the bakery and I stood there for a lot longer than you're apparently supposed to, contemplating whether or not I was going to put out the fire. And a mutual friend of ours ran over and put out the fire and is like, are you okay? And I was like, I'm fine. He's like, did you not know what to do when there was a fire? I was like, no, this wasn't the first fire. This was just the first time I wasn't sure if I wanted to put the fire. So I left that job.
Needless to say, one of us
probably for the best.
I left that job.
Wow.
I can bake though. So
that's... Yeah, I do cookies. Okay. Cookies is my thing. I'm a real sucker. Like, it sucks too when you get type 2 diabetes and then you're also really into making cookies, because it's like you can't not put sugar in cookies because it tastes like ass. There's like, you have to be very good at baking to not make them taste like ass if you're not putting some sort of sugar in. And I love testing out new cookies. Like, I'll think of a cookie and then I'll Google a recipe to make that cookie. And it's like, I'm like, damn, like, what was the one I was going to do this year?
Oh, you were talking about doing like a cherry Dr. Pepper or something.
Yeah. I was trying to do like a cherry Dr. Pepper cookie and I was looking up how you would make that happen. And I didn't end up doing it, but like I did a banana cream cookie.
Okay.
And I did a banana chocolate chip. That was one of my favorites that I did. They tasted really good.
I've done a cherry almond cookie using maraschino cherries before. And that's one of my favorite recipes that I've ever like experimented with. But the other thing that sucks if you love to bake is if you suddenly have to be gluten-free, which happened to me about 2 years ago. I suddenly couldn't, like, my body just doesn't like gluten anymore. So I've had to learn how to make things that either don't require it to begin with, or figure out how to like swap out one-to-one gluten-free flours and not have it feel awful.
Yeah. My aunt's gluten-free, and I tried to make her, because my cousins were all like, I make the other kind of cookie I make is my other favorite is, I call them cherry bombs. It's chocolate cherry chip. So it's like dried cherries, like raisins. And then you make chocolate chip cookies and it's like delicious. And then I make a butter toffee cashew cookie.
I'm so hungry now.
Yeah. No, it's really good. you chop up the cashews in and you mix the toffee, the Heath Bar toffee. And it's amazing.
Ooh.
But I wanted to make some for her. So I don't remember what kind I ended up making for her. I think it might've just been chocolate chip, but like, I didn't know that you have to be like so succinct with the gluten-free, because I'm very much like my mom's old school Italian cook. So she if she thinks that there's not enough, she'll throw a little bit extra in or take a little bit out if it's not looking right. And it's like, I was doing that and you can't do that with the gluten recipes. Like, gluten-free recipes have to be so precise where it tastes like cardboard. And that's exactly what they tasted like. It was like a sheet of cardboard with like chocolate chips melted onto the top and you were like scraping them off with your teeth. It's gross. It's gross. I was so embarrassed. I was like, man, I don't want to say I'm a good baker, but like when you're a decent baker and you've had people say, dude, these are fucking amazing. Like, you get that baking, that cooking confidence that, and you're like, yeah, it's so fucking, I'm good at this. And then you get that one and it's like, and you can see the faces and you're like, fuck, these cookies suck. I can't believe I just did this. I'm
useless. If you ever need gluten-free things, I've found that, macarons are almond flour based, so those are automatically gluten-free. They're a little bit temperamental, but if you can master it, they're great. And then I've found that like brownies tend to be better gluten-free than say cookies do.
Really?
Because the chocolate and the fudginess, like I've made almond flour brownies and you could not tell the difference.
I was going to say that, like, I think that like gluten-free chocolate cake or chocolate torts are like some of the best like chocolate desserts I've ever had. Like, if you hand me a restaurant menu and it's got gluten-free chocolate cake or like a chocolate brownie, I'm going gluten-free every time. Cause that is like perfect. It's so good.
Like, flourless chocolate cake is totally a thing.
Yeah.
So you guys have inspired me to share something that's kind of personal.
Oh,
oh!
I've lived a really hard life up until this point, with alcohol and weed and being on the road and stuff and thinking it was normal to pee blood a lot. According to doctors, kids, it's not. But there's one vice that I finally was forced to give up recently, and it was gummy worms.
Oh no.
And it's been a really hard thing for me to talk about because my addiction to gummy worms is it was my only joy left in life was gummy worms. On Amazon, you can order 10 pound bags of gummy worms, which I frequently did. And not that long ago, maybe like it was during the pandemic. So prior to the pandemic, during one of our tours, I broke a tooth because I'm dumb. Remember the other stuff I do? I broke a tooth doing the other stuff when we were on the road and had to get like a fake tooth. And now I can't eat gummy worms because it'll rip out like the implant or whatever. So yeah, this is a really dark thing, and it's a hard thing to talk about, but you guys are talking about gluten and diabetes and things like that. Oh, who wants that though? It's the it's the trolley ones with like the sugar on the outside and just biting in. Oh man,
way to bring the whole thing down.
I know, I'm sorry, but I just felt like everybody else was sharing gluten and sugar and things like that, and it's just like, hey,
this was just your safe space.
Also, again, kids, it's not normal to pee blood.
Just gotta reiterate,
go to a doctor. Go to a doctor.
I feel like that's like the most like metal like musician story. Like, it's not normal to pee blood. Go to a doctor. Like, that's
Mike is metal probably, Becky. Mike is probably the most metal of us, because he's actually
because of the gummy worms.
Because of the gummy worms,
yeah.
But also because of his metal background.
He had to give up gummy worms, and that's the hardest thing any of us have done.
We've all lived tough lives. Yeah, I should probably follow the diabetic guidelines a little more, but I don't. I just take the medicine and hope that I'm going to lose weight.
Well, see, my thing with the gummy worms is I just can't eat them. It'll rip out.
Yeah, right.
So,
you're forced not to.
Yeah, there's no like cheating. There's no like, it just.
Well, I'm gummy penguins. They have those.
Yeah, but so this is an argument between my wife and I, who she loves penguins. I believe the penguins are inherently evil and probably related to the Nazi party. Not everyone sees it, but I do. I see the evil. Dude. Yeah, I see the evil when I look at penguins.
If a bird's wearing a tuxedo, I don't trust it.
Yeah. I know what they're up to.
Penguin, one of the worst villains in the history of Batman.
Right there. So I couldn't eat the gummy penguin because we've been together for 23 years now. And for 23 years, this argument has been going, so I can't give in. I can't give an inch.
I just thought of a very interesting question for you, Becky. It just popped into my head. It's completely unrelated to what we were just talking about.
Gummy worms and Nazi penguins?
No.
It's unrelated to that. Don't.
It's been surprising. Yeah. I'm segueing away from that. Yeah. So what I was just thinking of is like, so I'm going to give you a scenario, and I want you to tell me how you would react.
Okay.
So a famous actor, and I'm not saying Leto. This wasn't what I was thinking of. I was thinking.
Oh, dear Lord.
Okay.
So he has a band, and he comes to you, and you know that this band is like, that this person is like a good person, because everyone knows Keanu Reeves is like.
I was going to say, is this Keanu?
Yeah, right. But that's what, like, it's he's awesome. And it's like his, but he wants you to do the publicity for his band. And his band is not that good. I'm not saying his band is not good. I have never listened to Dogstar, but I'm just saying, like, let's say,
like, if you didn't like them,
yeah, like you listen to it and you're like, this just, I don't dig this. Do you turn them away, or do you keep him, hoping that the band eventually turns around and becomes better, just because he's a good dude and it's instant? Like, that's a lot of shine to have on you.
Well, I mean, just because it's not my like. I haven't listened to his band either, but like in this hypothetical,
am I the only person here who listens to Dogstar?
Probably.
Yep. Definitely are.
The only one on the East Coast, bro.
In this hypothetical, I just because it's not my thing doesn't mean that somebody else at the company wouldn't connect with it and like it, because we all have very different tastes and like all of our rosters kind of reflect our own personal tastes. So in this situation, I would probably see if anybody else at the company liked it, because it would be a very cool client to have on the company roster.
Yes.
As opposed to just like turning it away outright. And in that same like thought process, even if nobody else is like super into it, I can usually, with most bands, I can usually find something that I do like about them and about their music enough to be able to pitch and find people that will like it. And this goes back to what I was saying about like building relationships with writers and learning their likes and dislikes and what they cover and that kind of thing. So like, I can still listen to something and go, okay, this isn't necessarily my favorite thing in the world, but I know who would like this and I know who I should reach out to about it. So I think it, in some way, shape or form, I would still end up making sure that they were a client.
Cool.
I think that's good. I think that was a really good question, because I'm not a publicist. I've never run into that, but there's bands I know whose music I don't like, but yeah, they're good people. They're going to know exactly who they are when they hear this. There's a really famous band that I'm friends with whose music I do not like, and they know this. This isn't like, I'm not going to say their name on here, but aww, I don't like it. It's just not for me, but they're very successful. So this isn't, you know, I'm not taking anything away from them saying that. They're a very successful band, but it's don't like their music. I wish.
Sorry.
Wiggles.
It's the Wiggles.
If I knew the Wiggles, I wouldn't be here right now.
It's Sharon Lowe's Graham, isn't it?
Yeah. I would be with the Wiggles all the time. All the time. I would do anything. I would give up my job to be on their road crew.
The only band I'm friends with right now is the Rust Belt.
They're great.
That's Mike's band. If you've never heard of them, Becky, you should check them out. They're very good.
Okay.
What's the other one's Pagan, right?
Yeah.
Pagan. If you ever heard of Pagan, that's Mike too.
Okay. I will check both out.
You probably won't like them. You don't need.
You don't know what I listen to.
Don't judge. Just saying. It's nothing like 30 Seconds to Mars.
So that leads me to my next question.
Right.
Is there any bands, not that you have a vendetta against, but is there a band that you would love to work with and just haven't had the opportunity? Like if you could just, you know, randomly win the lottery and any band had to be your client.
I will say I have been very fortunate in the 9+ years that I've been a Big Picture that the majority of bands that were like on my wish list, I've been able to check off.
Cool. Nice.
The only band left that I have not been able to, and that's because they have a publicist that they've worked with forever, like good relationship there, has always done a good job for them. So like we don't poach, we don't do that. That's not what we're about.
Nice.
But the one band that like would be my dream client at this point that I haven't worked with yet is Yellow Card.
I love Yellow Ooh. Card.
I've been on a Yellow Card kick lately, like Lights and Sounds. I've been listening to that like on repeat, and
great record.
Oh yeah, it's very good.
That was such a missed opportunity to say 30 Seconds to Mars.
I can't even joke about that. Yellow Card is actually, they're doing a Twitch live stream tonight of their new EP that's going to be out later this summer. It's like a first listen EP listening party, and I am here with you guys instead. So I hope you appreciate
that. Oh my God, Becky, thank you so much. Like,
No,
for real. Like, no, that's that's amazing. Like you could have been like, nope, I have my favorite band I have to listen to, and I would totally understand because you're in the industry, and yeah, I get it.
I figure I'm going to see them enough this summer because I'm going to like 5 shows on that tour that I'll be okay.
Are you coming around here?
Where is here?
We're in Levittown, Pennsylvania, Philly.
Philly area.
No, I'll be at the New York show and the Asbury Park show, but then I'm going away with my family for a week. So I'm missing all of the other ones that are in like the general area. And then after that, I'm going to one of the Jacksonville shows, and I think I'm going up to Worcester and Portland.
Ooh, Worcester, Mass.
I was going to say, if you're in the area, feel free to stop in. You can come on again and do it live from the studio.
Yeah, if I ever make it down that way, I will.
Becky, I wanted to ask, like, so you've been with this company, you've been doing it for 10 years. How has it changed from your perspective? Because we always like to ask musicians, like, moving from physical media to streaming, you know, and they talk about the change in that and how that like affects them and touring and merch sales and so on and so forth. How does it affect you from a publicist standpoint, from like when you started to where you are now? Like it must have changed. It had to have changed. How though?
Yeah. I mean, for starters, when I began a big picture, like the big thing that we were pitching our clients for all the time was like exclusive premieres, and everybody ran exclusive premieres. And that was kind of how you got artists in front of these bigger publications like a Rolling Stone or a Billboard or a Spin. And these days, with the rise of streaming, exclusive premieres just don't really exist anymore. Like there are still some publications that will do them that kind of make like will help push the needle. But for the most part, those bigger publications just don't do it because they don't drive traffic anymore.
Wow.
Podcasts are definitely have, you know, been on the rise the last few years and are a much bigger part of like what we do and what we pitch for. And just in general, a lot of publications have closed or sold or have, it's the last few years, especially with like the pandemic and everything, you know, there's been a lot of layoffs, and that makes it a lot harder for us when we're pitching our clients, because there's fewer people that we're pitching the same amount of content to. And like BuzzFeed News closed this year, Vice is bankrupt, Paper Magazine shuttered completely. Like these are all bigger publications that we absolutely have been pitching for over the last few years that just aren't there anymore. So it's gotten a lot harder to figure out like, okay, who do we pitch our clients to? What writers are there? Who's covering what? Who still does music coverage in 2023? And which of these publications are actually like, everybody's worthwhile, but like when you have artists of a certain caliber, you have to be a little bit pickier about who you're pitching what to, and you know what publications you're having interview those artists, because you're not going to have a band that's been around for 25 years and has, you know, 3 million followers on Instagram or 3 million monthly streams on Spotify or whatever, in like being interviewed by a band that had a blog that has like 10 likes or followers. Our goal is always quality coverage over like quantity, and nice. Like finding writers that are going to write really good features or people like podcasts that are going to do really great interviews and give like good sound bites and things like that. But on like the business side of things, for a lot of artists, it does boil down to numbers and like, is this worth me sitting down for an hour? Am I going to see some kind of return on investment in that? And like for our line of work, like return on investment is a really hard thing to prove.